All right, today is Communion Sunday. Tell somebody it's Communion Sunday. Communion is a ceremony where we eat a wafer and we drink a cup of juice. Communion is something that Jesus instructed us to do. For Christians, it's a way of remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But communion, for the believer, it's much more than a ceremony. It's much more than something that you do on a Sunday morning or at church. The truth is, communion, for the believer, is a way of life. The word communion means fellowship, not just fellowship, but close fellowship. And the ceremony is just a reminder of the daily communion that every believer has with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to know today. Communion is not a ritual to be observed. It's a blessing to be received. Today I'm going to declare over your life the seven blessings of communion. And these blessings are not original to me. These blessings are found in something called the Book of Common Prayer. Anybody ever heard of the Book of Common Prayer? We got a few folks, okay. The Book of Common Prayer is a book that's nearly 500 years old. And if you've ever been to a wedding and the minister said, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the sight of God." Have you ever heard those wedding vows before? Well, that comes from the Book of Common Prayer. And in the Book of Common Prayer, there is a sevenfold blessing for communion. And while we here at Generation Church aren't very big on church tradition or liturgy, I do believe that there are appropriate times to draw from the wells that were dug by generations who have gone before us. The Bible says that in Genesis 26 that Isaac dug again the wells of his father Abraham. And today's communion is special because we're going to be redigging some ancient wells in the body of Christ. Today I'm going to teach you the seven blessings of communion, and I'll talk about where they come from in the Bible, and then we'll take communion together. And when we take communion, I'm going to pronounce those blessings over your life. I don't know about you, but I believe that something powerful happens when we speak the blessings of God. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That means that words have power. I want you to think about this. Of all the beings on earth, humans are the only ones who have language. We're the only creatures on this planet who have the ability to create words. And I'll tell you why. Because we're made in the image of God. And here's something incredible about God. When God wants to create, He uses words. The words that God speaks have creative power. The Bible says that God spoke the world into being. And we are made in the image and likeness of God, and our words have power because God's words have power. That's why last week I told you that you need to speak to your mountain. When we speak, we have the power to declare life or death, blessing or cursing. And I hope that you're ready to receive a blessing this morning, because today I'm going to speak seven blessings over your life. So I'm about to do two things. Number one, I'm going to teach you. Number two, I'm going to bless you. All right, let's start with the teaching. Here's the teaching, the seven blessings of communion. Let me start by saying this. There's nothing special about the wafer and the grape juice. They in themselves have no power. If they did, trust me, I would eat a whole bag of wafers and drink a gallon of grape juice at every meal, okay? If there was power in the cracker, I would not be cracker lacking, okay? The power is not in the wafer and the juice. The power is in what they represent. The power is not in the bread and the cup of communion. The power is in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So these blessings do not come from the act of communion. They come from a life of communion with the Lord Jesus. These seven blessings come from the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Here's blessing number one. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with Him in His risen life. The first blessing of communion is that we would walk in new life. Somebody say new life. The central idea of Christianity and the teachings of Jesus is that through his death, we have life. Jesus died so that we could live. And we studied this Wednesday night, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Listen, you haven't lived until you live for Jesus, because in him is life. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to give us life. There is no other way to truly live than through Jesus Christ. And it's through communion with him that we have life. Blessing number two: may Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, draw you and all who hear his voice to be one flock within one fold. The second blessing of communion is unity. Somebody say unity. One of the greatest things about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that you do not have to do this on your own. Tell somebody, don't try this on your own. Listen, you are not alone. You have a family. Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God." Do you know what that Bible verse is telling us? It's telling us that we have been adopted into the family of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Come on, tell somebody, "I'm a child of God." They didn't get it. Tell somebody else, "I'm a king's kid." Listen, you've been adopted into the family of God. You are members of his royal household. And one of the great blessings of fellowship with God is that we also have fellowship with one another. As Christians, we are all part of the same family. Listen, I don't care. You go to that church, I go to this church, she goes to that church over there, she goes to that church. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because if you're a child of God, we are all one family and one body. And it's time that we start treating each other like family in Jesus' name. Because we're all members of one family, we should love one another and care for one another. Galatians 6:10 tells us, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of faith." One of the strategies of the enemy is to divide us and isolate us. He'll do anything he can to keep us apart from one another. He'll do anything he can to keep you out of church and away from church. The devil hates unity because he understands that we're stronger when we're united. Psalm 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." The Bible says that unity commands a blessing. Doesn't say that God might bless us if we unite together. It says that unity commands a blessing. That means that when the people of God come together in unity, God absolutely will and does bless that. We are blessed as a church because this is the kind of unity that only comes through Jesus Christ. So the second blessing of communion is unity. Blessing number three: may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. May he establish you, strengthen you, and settle you in the faith. Listen, that's the blessing of stability. When we have communion with Jesus Christ, he gives us a stability that the world doesn't have. Y'all know we live in an unstable world. All you have to do is turn on the TV or take out your phone or walk out the front door in the morning. This world is unstable, and it is getting more unstable by the day. A year ago, the LGBT movement, it was four letters, LGBT, and then it was LGBTQ, and then it was LGBTQRSTUVWX. It seems like every week they got to add another strange category, another, because this world is unstable, and it's becoming more and more unstable. But communion with Jesus Christ brings stability that you won't find anywhere else. Listen, when you are grounded in Jesus Christ, you won't be a part-time Christian. Because the more you fellowship and commune with God, the more spiritual stability He will give you. And that's one of the blessings of fellowship with the Lord, is that God will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you in the faith. Some of you, that's your greatest need. You need stability in your walk with God. I want to tell you what the Bible says about that. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you'll completely surrender your heart to Jesus, he will finish what he started in your life. Blessing number four, may Christ, who has nourished us with himself, the living bread, make you one in praise and love and raise you up at the last day. I love these blessings because they all deal with the strength that we need to walk daily with the Lord. And this blessing talks about Jesus as our daily bread. Do y'all remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? He told the disciples, he said, I am the bread of life. Okay, he who receives me will never hunger and thirst again. Jesus is our daily bread. But this blessing also talks about the Jesus being the resurrection and the life. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen, this life is not the end. There is an eternity, and the great hope for those who trust in Jesus Christ is that God will raise us up to eternal life in the presence of God. Romans 8:11 tells us, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That means that there is resurrection power inside of you. Come on, point to yourself. Come on, say, there's resurrection power inside of me. Blessing number five, may the Father from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name strengthen you with his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Notice what this blessing says. May God strengthen you with his spirit in your inner being. Not only does the blood of Jesus save us, but the blood of Jesus gives us strength to serve him every day. And there are times in this Christian walk when we all feel weak, when we all feel like we don't have the strength to carry on. Even the great apostle Paul felt that way. Paul prayed to the Lord, and this is what God told him. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The incredible thing about the strength of God is that God is strongest when we are weakest. He said, my power is made perfect, it's made complete in our weakness. The strength that you need doesn't come from you, it comes from God. It comes from his spirit inside of you. It comes from those rivers of living water that Jesus talked about. Ephesians 6:10 tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Doesn't say be strong in yourself and the power of your own strength. It says be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Blessing number six, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now this blessing comes straight out of Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. It's a wonderful blessing that comes from communion with God, joy and peace. And the kind of joy and peace that come from Jesus are not circumstantial. You can have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord even in the midst of the worst day of your life, because it doesn't come from your surroundings. It comes from our God, the God of hope. And finally, blessing number 7. I want to ask the ushers to come and get ready for communion. Blessing number 7 says this: may God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water, welling up to eternal life, perfect you in the image of his glory. That 7th blessing of communion is holiness. That God would perfect us in the image of his glory. Listen, holiness is not about how you dress on the outside. Holiness is about being more like Jesus on the inside. When you become a believer, you are instantly sanctified by the blood of Jesus, meaning that you immediately belong to God. Your sins have been washed away. But sanctification is also a lifelong process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Will you stand with me as we pray for just a moment before we take communion together as a church? May God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water, welling up to eternal life, perfect you in the image of his glory. Listen, communion plays an important part in that process of perfecting. Because according to the Bible, communion is a time for us to examine ourselves. Communion is a time to allow God to deal with us. If there are things in our lives that don't please him, this is a time to allow God to search our hearts. That's why the Apostle Paul warns us. He said, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Bible's telling us that before you take communion, take some time and let God search your heart. Make sure that you're truly ready today. Let's take a moment to pray this morning. Holy Spirit, search our hearts today. God, if there's any offensive way inside of us, Lord, show us by your Holy Spirit. God, forgive us, purify us, sanctify us. Thank you, Jesus. God, if there's any unforgiveness in our hearts, God, give us the grace today to forgive. Lord, to let go of bitterness, to let go of unforgiveness, God, to be set free this morning. God, if there's any hatred or anger in our heart, God, that we haven't dealt with, God, forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just allow God to search your hearts for just a moment today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Lord, open up our eyes to see.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Lord, search our hearts today.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
As we sing this song together, I want to ask the ushers to go ahead and distribute the elements this morning. Lord, we want to see you.
I want to see you. I want to see.
Come on, make that your prayer today. Lord, open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Lord, search my heart this morning.
Open the eyes of my
heart. Lead me in the way everlasting.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
Thank you, Jesus.
See you high and lifted up, shining the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love.
Pour out your power and love.
As we cry, holy, holy, holy. Pour out your power and love.
Pour out your power and love.
So we cry, holy, holy, holy. Sing that one more time. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes. I want to see you.
To see you.
I want to see you.
I want to ask you, go ahead and take out the wafer this morning. Don't eat it just yet, but I want you to take it out. And hold it for just a moment. Remember, communion is not a ritual to observe. It's a blessing to receive. And I want to talk just a minute about what this wafer represents. So just take it and hold it in your hand for just a moment. The Bible says that this wafer represents the body of Jesus Christ. It's through His blood that we have forgiveness of sins, but it's through His body that we have healing. Isaiah 53:5 says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Healing comes through the body of Jesus Christ. And I have heard testimony after testimony of people who were healed while they were taking communion. I heard of a pastor in Florida recently. He was in the hospital. He was deathly ill with cancer. And God laid on his mother's heart to go and take communion with him. She went there in the ICU and they allowed her and him to take communion together. And do you know, from that moment forward, that cancer began to recede? Heard of a man who was in a car wreck and he lost his peripheral vision. And it was one night while he was taking communion that God restored his vision. And there's no power in the wafer. The power is in what Jesus has already done for us. I don't know about you. I know what it's like to be physically broken. But Jesus, his body was broken on a level that we've never known. Jesus suffered in his body so that we could have healing in our body. So I want you to look at this wafer this morning. And if you need healing in your body, I just want you to visualize healing that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that somebody's going to get healed this morning as we take the wafer today. Listen, communion is not a time to go through a religious ritual. It's a time to receive the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. I always read 1 Corinthians 11 where Paul says if you do communion the wrong way, it could bring sickness into your life. But I've never talked about the opposite. When you do communion in the right way, when you have before your eyes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, communion can bring healing and life to our physical bodies. So I want you to visualize this wafer. This is the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for you. If you're sick in your body, you can be healed today as you take this bread. Not because of the wafer, but because of what it represents. Right now I'm going to read the scripture and we'll take the bread. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread and receive healing today. Jesus, I thank you for healing. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you purchased our healing on Calvary. God, I thank you, Lord, that you suffered in your body so that we don't have to suffer in our bodies. And Lord, I thank you for healing this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise you. Now let's take the cup today. We're getting ready to drink the juice in just a moment, but I want you to hold this cup for a minute. This cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we have forgiveness of sins. Somebody's here today, you're struggling with the guilt of your past. I want you to look at this cup, because this cup represents total forgiveness. This cup represents washing all of your sins away. This cup represents that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And as you take this cup by faith, receive the complete forgiveness of God. Because Jesus did not shed his blood for us so that we would struggle with the guilt of yesterday. Jesus shed his blood so that we can have hope for tomorrow. I'm going to read the scripture and we're going to take the cup, but by faith, receive that cleansing this morning. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's take the cup today. Can we just worship the Lord for a moment? Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for healing and forgiveness that comes through the sacrifice you made. Jesus, we praise you. We bless you. Now lift up your hands by faith. I'm going to pronounce the sevenfold blessing of communion over you today. May the God, the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And may Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, draw you and all who hear his voice to be one flock within one fold. May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen you, and settle you in the faith. May Christ, who has nourished us with himself, the living bread, make you one in praise and love and raise you up at the last day. May the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and may God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, perfect you in the image of his glory. Come on, worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for your blessings. Lord, we thank you that through the blood of Jesus, we have communion with you. And that through communion and fellowship with you, you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I want to ask the prayer team.